Hello everyone, welcome to The Voice of Nursing. My name is Adrian Tracy, CEO of ICG Medical. Today, very lucky to be joined by Fiona McQueen, Chief Nursing Officer for Scotland. Welcome, Fiona.
Thank you, delighted to be here.
Fiona, tell us how you got into nursing.
Well, I, like many nurses, I had an experience of the healthcare system as a child. I was in and out of hospital a couple of times, and the nurses really made a big impression on me in terms of how they made me feel. And that stuck with me. They cared about me, they cared for me, they helped me when I was distressed. So that stayed with me. The other option I had was to teach maths and physics, and therefore that was my choice. I'm not quite sure what pushed me into nursing, but for sure it's a decision I've never regretted, not for one second.
Very good. And then how did you start then? Did you study, or it's different, you know, different ways of getting into nursing.
Yeah. So in my day, in the late 70s, the graduate programme was very, very new. And although in Scotland we'd had an undergraduate programme at a school of nursing in a university in Edinburgh since the 50s, it was still quite unusual and not typical. So I did the undergraduate programme, and that was quite refreshing. But we were then, as undergraduates, and for me it was in Glasgow rather than Edinburgh, we were quite different and at times treated with suspicion. So that's again stayed with me, and why I'm so supportive of our undergraduate population, supporting them to learn, to develop. And we now know that having graduate nurses leads to better outcomes and better care. And that's why in Scotland we are very supportive of our graduate nurse programme and have continued to invest in increasing numbers of students over the past 7 years.
And take us through your career, because a lot of people who are watching this going, how do you become a chief nurse? How does that happen? So take us through, you know, did you join as a ward nurse and then kind of went speciality? So take us through the career.
So a question that frustrates and makes me chuckle is, were you once a nurse? Do you have a nursing background? Well, to be the chief nurse of a country, you are a nurse.
Yeah.
And I think the opportunities that nursing presents are quite unique and quite outstanding. I qualified in the early 80s, and at that stage there weren't the number of opportunities that we have now for the profession. So for me, I worked first of all in neurosurgery. It's where I had wanted to work, and I was very glad to be able to get that post. At that time in Scotland, nursing jobs were beginning to dry up, so not everybody who qualified at that time was getting the job that they wanted. And soon after that, then we began to have newly qualified nurses were unemployed. So I very quickly changed into acute medicine. And from that point of time, the teacher in me called me and beckoned me into nurse education. But I didn't quite get there, because I think the frustration of youth, I didn't have the patience to wait for the next programme of nurse lecturers to start. And by that time, I wanted to make change. So I looked for a more senior post. It came out of the blue. I applied for it, thinking, well, surely, you know, I could be better than what I currently am existing in. I wasn't able to, as a ward sister, as it was then, not a senior charge nurse, I wasn't able to effect the change I wanted. I wanted to support nurses to make decisions for their patients, to have their own caseload. And I was being pulled back by people who wanted to stay in the past. Oh, that's not the way we do things here. So I was surprised when I was promoted, and the ability to effect change was something that drew me into more senior posts. Never ever thought that it would be something that I would want to do. I believed I would have wanted to stay with patients directly, because one thing being in a more senior post that happens is that sense of care and compassion and knowing that what you're doing makes a real difference, it becomes quite abstract. So when you're a practicing nurse and you're working with people and their loved ones, you immediately get a feedback of, hopefully, you've always done the best you can, and you've supported them and nurtured them and cared for them. But actually, in this job, whilst now I can look back in my career and I can see where some of the work that I've initiated and provided leadership for has had a huge impact, the immediate gratification of thank you, nurse, that is just so much better, has gone. So it becomes quite abstract. So that was me, I think, wanting to change, wanting to influence. I think the career opportunities that are now available for nurses, so we've got consultant nurse posts, we have nurses in public health, the academic world of research, just provides such an amazing opportunity for the profession that I'm thoughtful about whether I would have gone into the management route were I to have my time over again. Because I do think leadership issues are now much more, or leadership opportunities are much more available to grassroots practitioners to make changes, to make suggestions, to look at improvements.
So how did you go from ward sister, as you mentioned, into the sort of management pool? Like, what was the sort of training? What was the path into the present day of becoming the CNO?
So for me, it was straightforwardly, and at that time it was a nursing officer.
Okay.
So that's what I did. So become a nurse manager of a handful of wards, with no education, no training. Had done a bit of
on the job.
Yep.
Okay.
And then became assistant director of nursing. My first job into strategic roles was to help prepare for P2000, which in Scotland, or in the UK, was that move from hospital schools of nursing into higher education. And that, I think, is where I got my first sense of the strategic impact that positive decisions can have, where we looked at how the student nurse workforce needed to be replaced by both registered nurses and nursing assistants. And having been able to see that over a 5 to 10 year period gave me a real confidence that actually these strategic decisions that are needed to be taken do make a big difference. And then from there into a nurse director's post, I was a nurse director for over 20 years, and 5 years ago, a job I never thought I would have was the chief nurse for the country, and it is an amazing privilege to be able to do this job every day.
What does a CNO do?
Well,
a lot, I know, is the answer, by the way. but give us an idea for people watching about what does a CNO do? What is the job?
So I think it's a job of two halves. So providing advice to government and to ministers on matters that affect the profession. So quality and standards of care, healthcare associated infection, nursing numbers, student nurse numbers, as well as in the wider health portfolio, looking at the wider issues that affect both public health and our health and social care system. The outward facing bit of it is that leadership role of the profession across the country. So working with the nurse directors, working with the higher education organisations, and providing leadership so that we can grow the profession and support the profession to flourish. And a couple of years ago I published the Nursing 2030 vision, and from a leadership perspective that identified areas of how we needed to create and support the professional practice so that we really could be fit for the future.
What are the sort of two or three major themes out of that 2030 vision?
So we consulted widely on that with the profession, but also with the public. And maybe surprisingly, I'm not sure, not surprisingly, there were three areas. So personalising care. So public, very supportive of the nursing profession in Scotland. They want that care to continue to be personalised to them and to their loved ones. And we know from surveys that nurses are the most trusted profession.
Yeah, always number one.
So that's helpful. Nurses too said, no matter what, in terms of digital technology, other ways of delivering care, they wanted to be able to deliver their care in a very personalised way. So there was consensus on that. The second bit was about preparing nurses for the future. So it goes without saying, making sure that we've got enough in terms of, and in Scotland, the government commissions the number of places for nursing students in Scotland. We've had a rise over the past 7 years, every year on year. and the Government of Scotland decided to keep the nursing bursary. So next year it will go up to over £10,000 a year for our students, and of course fees are also paid in Scotland. But it's not just about having enough new graduates. We need to look at, you know, some of our graduates are going to be working for 40, 45 years. So how do we support them in terms of continuous professional development, new roles, and continuously working in a way that perhaps we never imagined 20 or 25 years ago. And then the next part, so there was three parts in it. So personalising care, preparing nurses for the future, but supporting nurses. The nurses recognise that the job's stressful, it's demanding, it's part of the pool that brings us in, because we want to be with people perhaps at their most vulnerable, their most challenging times in their lives. But they also said our lives outside work are challenging and distressing. And we know from recent surveys that nurses, more than the rest of the population, suffer from obesity, mental health problems, domestic violence, and have more long-term conditions. So we know that nurses are needing support to manage their own health and well-being. And so therefore health and well-being, but also clinical supervision, so that we can really create that arena for nurses to be able to flourish and therefore care for their patients in a positive way.
I think when you talk about mental health, you know, it's almost like a badge of honour for nurses, isn't it? That they, you know, they had the whole 12 hours, they didn't have a break, didn't have no chance. You know, you see some of the things that on the internet, the memes of they didn't get a chance to eat or go to the toilet, and you're actually like, well, that's not acceptable. And, you know, and that puts so much pressure on nurses anyway in a very, very difficult job. And also that leads to sickness, long-term sick, you know, and you know, people not being able to come to work. And also the sin is infallible, which is ridiculous.
Absolutely. And I think that's interesting, that badge of honour. So if there's an environment where nurses can't drink, can't have their breaks, then that's wrong. But equally, nurses shouldn't see it as a sign of weakness that they need to have a break, they need to sit down, they need to rest. And that's why I was so pleased when the Scottish Parliament put legislation through that talked about health and care staffing. It's more than just numbers. It's also well-being and culture. Really, really important aspects of delivering care for the nursing team, the wider multidisciplinary team. That means that outcomes can be improved for the people of Scotland, as well as supporting nurses to flourish.
And in your role, would you say that, you know, the most interesting part of your role is? You've spoken about a few areas there, but what would you say the most interesting part?
So for me, the government, the advice to government is fascinating in terms of how government policy is enacted, and the work that we have to do before that to be able to give advice to ministers, and seeing that come to fruition. A bit like the strategic piece in terms of having the confidence to know that if we're looking at work that's important to the profession, at some time that advice can get to ministers and then can be taken in as policy so that we can really make that difference. But probably the most compelling part of the job is the professional leadership piece of being out and about and listening to the stories. Listening to the stories of nurses who do these amazing jobs every day, our lecturers who are supporting our new students in new and innovative ways, and to the people of Scotland who talk about their stories and how important it is to receive that personalised care from the profession.
Can you tell us a couple of stories? Give us an idea of a couple of the stories that have come up recently? Or memorable ones even you might have had yourself? Every nurse seems to have that one patient or that one story.
Yeah, so I have a couple of personal stories in terms of the aspect. I always remember being a ward sister, and I remember the patient's name. And she had been in and out of the ward, and when I came on duty, I would go and speak to all of our patients. And I spoke to her, and she said, "Oh, sister, I am so glad you're on today. I'm frightened." And she died later on that day. And that, the essence of the relationship between the nurse and the patient, is something quite unique that is difficult to describe, and it's so special about the difference you can make to people's lives. Another story that I came across was a nurse who the relative had, the father actually, had written to me and had described the impact that the school nurse had had on his daughter. And he, in his letter, he talked about how terrified he was that his daughter would take her own life. And the difference that that school nurse made in supporting his daughter, keeping her alive, but also being able to pull in other resources so that she could recover and get better. And these are quite magical and quite special to have an insight into the real difference that practitioners are doing quite silently, quite privately, every single minute of the day right across the country.
It's amazing. And obviously, yeah, this, you know, this, the, one of the reasons we do the Voice of Nurses, talk about the opportunities. If you were to talk to a young person, maybe looking at a job, looking at nursing as a career, why would they become a nurse? Why would they become a nurse in Scotland?
Oh gosh, why wouldn't you become a nurse in Scotland? So first of all,
the inspiration of chief nurse.
So first of all, in Scotland, clearly fees paid if you're a resident in Scotland, and bursary. So that real commitment from the government in growing our workforce, as well as other commitments to having CPD, to having transformed roles, and that role that the nurse has. Would I recommend nursing as a profession to my son or daughter? Absolutely. And I could not have been prouder when one of my daughters chose to enter into nursing, and she's still a student, and it's quite magical sharing a house with a student where I can relive some of my memories but also see things from a different perspective. So I think the career opportunities that you have, if you want to stay practicing with people and doing that day and daily, you can do that. I think now you can grow into a more senior role, still staying with the patients. You can go into research, you can go into academia, public health. I think that's an area where nurses are making real impact. People, homeless people, vulnerable families. The world really is your oyster in terms of these career opportunities that people can have. And I can think of nothing better than being a nurse.
And in looking at nursing, you know, you've had a wide-ranging career. But from your perspective, what do you think, you know, what's been the biggest changes over the last sort of 5 to 10 years?
So I think two things. Longer than 5 years, 5 to 10 years. But I think the recognition of the role that graduate nurses have in improving outcomes. So the professionalism, the academic rigour of the role is being recognised in research and is being respected. I think the way society is changing, so increased digitisation, changes to health and social care integration, older people, younger people, is meaning that nurses have to really stretch at times to continue to reach into communities to provide care. And I think the constant, ever-changing nature of society, whether it's with technology, whether it's with the way people live their lives, means that there's always something new, unique, exciting that the profession has to respond to.
And how you're seeing, as you talk about the demographic, we're trying to move people out of hospitals. How are you seeing the nurses in the community, that sort of social care, that wellness element? Are you seeing changes there? Because that's obviously developed a lot over the last...
So for sure it has. And in Scotland we have what's called the Transforming Roles Programme. It's where we've outlined where there are roles, the educational requirements, that, and also that a career path. So if people can say, I want to be a GP nurse, or I want to work in a care home, or I want to be a district nurse. So we can look and commission education so that there's a planned career, rather than perhaps in my day when I ricocheted around and wasn't quite sure what options there were. So the whole issue about whether it's public health or working within the community, and again, someone spoke to me only yesterday about the quality of the district nursing workforce when her dad, who was in his 90s, went into a care home. And he had 6 weeks there before he died. And she talked about the partnership between the care home nurse, the district nurse and the hospital. And the role, the significant pivotal role that the nurses had in supporting her father to a peaceful death and supporting the loved ones. She was quite blown away by the sensitivity, the tenderness, the love and care and compassion that shone through.
One thing that always comes out of these interviews is, Where and how do nurses learn the soft skills? Well, how do nurses learn, you know, because that's not a textbook, how they learn the compassion, you know, how they deal with families as well as patients. You know, how does that happen?
So that's challenging. And society's changed. So when I was a ward sister, all I had to do was walk into the ward with my frilly hat on, and the visitors behaved.
Did you have one of those high hats?
It wasn't high, but it was frilly and starched. And there was a behaviour that wouldn't have been seen in the 80s, that nowadays sometimes a lot more aggression, there's quite a lot of violence at times, that would never have been happened within a hospital setting, which you have now. Invariably and inevitably, the anxiety that people feel and perhaps some of the aggression is about, it's coming from a place of frustration and anxiety. So I think nurses have to deal with that, as well as young families. So a story I heard recently was about a woman in her 50s being suddenly admitted into intensive care, and teenage children and her husband being bereft at the thought that their mother was dying, and the anguish that these families go through is something that nurses see most of the time. Others people don't, and the ability to respond to that is something that I think can be taught. So people are attracted to nursing in a variety of ways. They tend to like people. They tend to want to make a difference, and I think it can be taught. I think there's the theory. It's why we're a graduate profession: psychology, sociology, social policy, as well as the physical sciences. The 50% of the time that a student nurse is in clinical practice, and the reason that students are supernumerary is so that they can have a positive learning experience. They're working alongside registrants. They're able to be with them in that moment of distress for the family. They can watch how the nurse interacts and deals with it. They can apply the theory, and they can be brought into that in a way that when the student is ready to do that. So I think part of the education does it. Yes, there are some people who are intuitively much better than others, but I think it can be learned.
And do you find that a lot of the learning comes from maybe some of the senior nurses? Some of our great nurses are, unfortunately, are retiring, and you know, we've actually had doctors come on this and go, the most I've learned wasn't through a textbook, as I'm listening to the ward sister who's been on the ward for 20 years, yeah, and she taught me more in 10 minutes, you know, that type of thing. You hear about these, you know, the knowledge they have.
Absolutely, and certainly for our mentors, for our students, our good mentors are worth their weight in gold. But for sure, I think the more experienced practitioners, and in this case nurses, are really at the essence and the heart of what we're doing, which is partly why the government announced a scheme to test and to try. So to keep people at the end of their careers who may be tired, they've worked for 40, 45 years, absolutely, and to be professional practice advisors. So to work alongside the new graduates, the new registrants as a coach, and to test that out as a unique, so over and above what we would normally put in Scotland for our new graduates, we have what we call Flying Start. So it's a support programme for graduates in their first year of practice. And alongside that, then we would test to see whether it does keep the more mature and experienced practitioners in post, and they can work alongside as a coach and as a mentor. So, yeah.
It's good to keep the knowledge.
For sure.
And nursing apprentices and nursing associates? How's that looking in Scotland?
So in Scotland, we don't have nursing associates.
Okay.
No, we value our graduate nursing workforce. We know that it has better outcomes. We do have amazing healthcare support workers in Scotland.
Yeah.
And we have, again, we have support for them. We do have a route into the nursing profession.
Okay.
Through our healthcare support workers. So we support them to study through the Open University, and they can earn while they learn. The Open University in Scotland provides amazing opportunities to train to be a nurse. And we also have a system for our healthcare support workers to do an HNC and then go into year two of the nursing course. So we do have ways, and I commissioned work a couple of years ago about how to widen access. So we do encourage and support people from all areas and backgrounds to come into the profession, and if they need to, then in as healthcare support worker, and then through into nursing.
It's really, it sounds like Scotland are really, you know, thinking of how they can get those mature students as well. You know, because obviously a lot of life experience, which would be very good from the softer skills perspective.
And that makes a big difference. And we have National Education Scotland in Scotland. And one of the monitor, the undergraduate programmes on behalf of Scottish Government. And some of the very interesting statistics that they bring out is some of our very best students have been our experienced healthcare support workers who've gone into the profession. So you're absolutely right. I think we need the good, clever school leavers. We also need mature people to come in who's got life experience. Perhaps they've worked in care in a way, and it's great to have them as part of the profession.
And you had the programme for government yesterday?
We did.
What are the sort of main things to be looking out for over the next year or so in Scotland?
So over the past few years, nursing has featured heavily, and we've had legislation in terms of the health and care staffing to make sure that we have the right numbers as well as quality and well-being. We have a healthcare associated infection piece in this year's programme for government in terms of looking at how we make sure we minimise healthcare associated infection, because like all areas we've had our ups and downs with that. So having an institute for infection prevention and control is featuring heavily, along with other parts of mental health. So nursing clearly has a big part to play in terms of providing a mentally flourishing Scotland, where we have that as well. And of course, the climate emergency that we have has featured heavily. And therefore, within health and social care, we will want to take our place to make that real contribution to improving our outcomes for our planet.
And what do you think the main trends that are coming out over the next year or so? Are there any trends that you're seeing, or any things that you're looking at and thinking, that's quite interesting coming out with the way the profession is, or things that are coming out, you know, especially in Scotland?
So I think we've got our new standards, our new NMC standards, both for nursing and soon to be midwifery. I think continuing to have a systematic approach for career development and opportunities, and make sure that we work. So we're going to be employing our millennials, working in a flexible way. I've always been very supportive of being able to work part-time, being senior, working flexibly. So I do think maintaining the health and well-being of our workforce and providing flexible opportunities is going to be important. We've got remote and rural areas that at times can be hard to fill posts in, but they're amazing places to live and to work. But also that lifestyle choice that people are taking, and making sure that they can enter and leave the profession if they wish, or work in a much more flexible way that is suitable to their personal needs.
I was going to say, how are you looking at the workforce? You're talking about millennials all the way to baby boomers.
Yeah.
So it's quite a challenging working environment of different motivations, different things that will mean something to some and some not to others.
And it is interesting in terms of the whole issue about nurses who say, oh, it was never like that in my day, and I say, thank goodness it was never like that in your day, because we need to come up with the times. But yes, we've got either three or four generations of families at times working, and again, just as we need to support our new graduates, whether they're young or experienced, we also need to support the experienced registrants, so those who are in their early 60s, perhaps needing to or wanting to work later on in their career. How do we make sure that we've got flexible conditions for them as well? So when you talk about flexible working, you often think about mothers and fathers with young children, but increasingly it's adult children who have older parents to care for. It may be there's some health problems, they either want to or need to keep working. So how do we create the conditions that are flexible to the individual needs of staff? We talk about personalising care, but I do think we need to personalise the way we support and employ our nurses for the future.
And obviously in the nursing environment, what sort of change do you see in regards to the nursing role? You know, we've now got surgical nurses. You know, the roles are getting changed, aren't they? And you know, obviously we still have a shortage of doctors as well, and we also have a shortage of nurses, but the role seems to be changing. There's different responsibilities coming on.
Absolutely, and I think the NMC wisely reviewed the undergraduate standards so that we really could have a profession fit for the future. I think different levels of decision making that are going to be available to nurses, will be able to contribute to that and carry caseloads of patients, contribute in a different way, but always keeping that personalised care and the sensitive, compassionate nature. So they may well be doing jobs that other practitioners, whether it's physiotherapists or doctors, used to do, but they're doing it from a nursing perspective. So there's real added value of minimising the number of interactions of healthcare practitioners that people and their families have, of real decision-making, you know, shortening pathways and enhancing the care pathways that people are receiving.
And what do you, big question, what do you see the future of nursing in Scotland looking like?
So I think the future of nursing in Scotland is very bright. we have some vacancies, but we absolutely are in a good position, and we are increasing. Our universities provide outstanding graduates. We're increasing the numbers of graduates who are coming out. In some places where we struggle to recruit, the local health systems can be innovative in terms of finding ways to get people in to work as a support worker, perhaps educate and train them. But amazing opportunities, great place to live as well as to work. And I would have thought that any person who's coming into the profession nowadays will not regret it for a second.
We're talking about a great place to live. We, as I mentioned to you earlier, we had Jean White telling us all about how great Wales was and how great the beaches are.
Yep.
We too have wonderful beaches in Scotland and wonderful mountains. Great connection to Europe and wider as well from our ports and from our airports. And people are truly welcome here.
Very good. Fiona, thank you for your time. I know how busy you are. What message would you like to share with our nurses? Actually, before we go there, what do you do outside of nursing? What do you do in your spare time?
So, so a wife, a mother and a nurse, but probably the mother and nurse piece first. Like all nurses, I can struggle with my physical health at times, but so I enjoy spending time with my family, I enjoy walking, I enjoy looking at how to keep physically fit as well, and a bit of travelling where that.
Very good. And look, yeah, as I said, what message would you like to share with our nurses?
An amazing thank you for every single piece of work that you do every single day. You know that when you either put the uniform on, metaphorically or not, then your job is so valued by the people that you deliver care to and their loved ones. And I welcome all of you into the profession. So grateful that you're doing a job, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Fiona. Thank you for watching The Voice of Nursing. Thank you to all our nurses, healthcare providers, doctors and allied health professionals and carers. We look forward to catching up with you again soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.